The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you.
At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. You will find rest for yourself. For my yoke is easy and my burden sweet." The Gospel of the Lord. Today with joy we celebrate the solemnity of what Pope Benedict in 2008 called the center of our faith. When I first read that, I was like, I gotta find out why he would say that. Typically, you're growing up with a notion of devotions that are very important to sustain our faith. But theologians across the centuries wouldn't consider any particular devotion the core of our Christian reality. So Pope Benedict, one of the greatest theologians who has ever lived, and perhaps the greatest theologian ever to succeed St. Peter, summarized why it's the center of our faith. He said, because in this simple and authentic image, we get the incarnation and the redemption. We get Christ taking on our humanity. We also get the incredible love of God that sent him into the world in order to rescue us from sin and death and eternal separation. And he said, the way that we celebrate the solemnity of the Sacred Heart and the way that we approach this whole mystery is to center our life on Christ's heart, beating out of love for us, to synchronize the beats of our own heart. It's an extraordinary synthesis by Pope Benedict that helps us to see that this just isn't one day a year, but this is supposed to be a perennial reality of the way that we relate to Jesus and he seeks to transform us. Today's readings get us into the heart of that mystery of the incarnation and redemption that Jesus' heart symbolizes and actually brings about. First reading, these beautiful words that God gives us through Moses. The Lord set his heart on you and chose you. It was because the Lord loved you that he did all of this. The Lord has set his heart on us. His heart is constantly fixed. And he's chosen us to be his own and chosen us for a heart transplant. And it was because he loved us that he did all of this. We didn't deserve it, but as we see in the responsorial psalm, the Lord's love is merciful. He pardons our iniquities, heals our ills, redeems our life from destruction, crowns us with kindness and mercy, because he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. God has chosen us not despite our sins. He's chosen us with our sins, precisely in order to be able to heal us of that illness. St. John, in his first letter, which we have as the epistle today, focuses on this mystery of redemption and how the Lord has chosen us precisely while we were sinners. In this way, the love, we could say, of the heart of Christ was revealed to us. God sent his only Son into the world that we might have life through him, and this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an expiation for our sins. Sacred Heart is expiatory. Then finally, in the Gospel, Jesus speaks to us directly, enters into dialogue, and he points to his heart, and he says, "Come to me. I am meek and humble of heart." He wants us to receive that gift like little children. That's why he prays the Father for revealing that to the childlike. He wants us to learn from that heart, not just about the way he relates to us, but also about the way we're supposed to live. And he wants us to yoke ourselves to that reality on the inside, to become one, to become tandem with Jesus' Sacred Heart. So that again, like a mother's and a child in the womb's hearts eventually synchronize. The mother's heart beats faster than the child's, but they beat in synchrony. Sorry, the child's heart beats faster than the mom's, but they beat in synchrony. So we are called to synchronize our expiatory love together with the Lord's gift. When I look at the mystery of the Sacred Heart, I go back to the way that the Lord introduced me more and more into this mystery. Because I've studied anatomy and everything else, I think about why God has chosen to reveal himself under the image of his heart. Could have easily chosen to have a feast instituted for a sacred brain, which was the enfleshment of divine wisdom, or sacred eyes that looked with love on the inside of the rich young man as he summoned him, or sacred ears that listened patiently to so many who were coming to ask him for help, or his holy hands that sanctified the world in a carpenter shop and calloused, reached out and touched lepers and put salve with saliva on blind men's eyes, or Jesus' sanctified feet which traversed the ancient dusty roads of Palestine in order to bring to us the good news. It would be fitting to celebrate any of these hypostatically united organs. Jesus wanted to summarize everything under the image of his heart. Biblically, at Jesus' time, the heart was looked at as the core of the person. And we, a lot of the times, refer to the entirety of a person's character by the heart. He's lion-hearted. It symbolizes that his entire character is courageous. The second reason was obviously because the heart is the classic symbol of love. And Jesus wanted us to become devout toward his love, to make a vow, literally, devoto, in confidence, in trusting ourselves to the love that flows from that heart. When he finally came to reveal the mystery of his heart to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in the 1670s, he showed that heart and he revealed how deeply it loves. But also because he took on a human heart, how his heart too could be wounded, and has. That in his humanity, God is not impassible. That he can suffer. That just like he was able to suffer physical pains in the Garden of Gethsemane on Calvary, so he can suffer emotional pains and does. "Behold the heart," he says, "that has so much loved man that it exhausted itself in testimony of its love. But," he said, "in response to this love from most, I receive only indifference, irreverence, sacrilege, coldness, and scorn. And what pains me most keenly is that those consecrated to me treat me in this way." He wants a response to his love. That's why St. John, at the end of his epistle, tells us, "If God so loved us, we must love one another. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us." Jesus really wants us to yoke ourselves to his love and be so transformed that we begin to become the extension of his love toward others. Do you love me? Feed my sheep, tend my lambs. Feed my lambs. And Jesus is wounded when we respond to him or others with anything less. So on this Solemnity of the Sacred Heart, we begin to ponder by almost a photographic negative of what wounds Jesus, to know what would please Jesus in response to the most who treat him with indifference. We try to make Jesus the greatest difference to those who treat him with irreverence. We try to treat him with greater loving piety. To those who treat him with scorn, we bombard him with praise. To those who treat him sacrilegiously, we try to treat him with extraordinary adoration. I'm forgetting one of them, but I'll leave it for your homework. Like, we can learn from Jesus how truly to love him as he most desires. But he doesn't leave us on our own. He seeks to help us. The Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts as love, precisely to continue that work of the incarnation and the redemption. And I've always thought about that mystical experience that St. Margaret Mary had, when the Lord Jesus reached into her breast, took out her heart, submerged it into the furnace of his own burning love, burned away the dross, and then handed that heart back to her, renewed. The Lord wants to do a similar thing with each of us. This is the fulfillment of what Ezekiel prophesied in his 37th chapter. I will give you a new heart. Jesus constantly wants to renew that gift. He does it obviously in the sacrament of confession, where that expiatory love reaches its zenith, in which what he did for us on Calvary in pouring out blood and water rains down as the most powerful detergent a soul could ever meet. But he also wants us to renew that every time we celebrate Mass, in the extraordinary Eucharistic miracle of Lanciano, 1,100 years after it happened, Pope St. Paul VI authorized the examination of that host and the five pellets of blood. And the host was human myocardium, human heart wall. Again, nothing happens by coincidence. God could have chosen any organ for that miracle. But he wanted to communicate to us very clearly that when we receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, we're receiving his heart. We're getting a heart transplant. And it's through the Eucharist that we begin to receive Jesus' love in that heart. Like a child, we begin to learn from it how to make our whole life a similar self-offering. And we yoke ourselves to it, not just here in an ephemeral Holy Communion, but throughout all our life. O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine. Amen.